Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast that you're listening to right now. It's your boy, Mike Carrozza. You know me. You love me. Say it. Say it. We're back with another episode of Am I the Bullcast. You might be thinking, Mike, Morgan wasn't here last episode. Is she back? You're damn right she is. Ladies and gentlemen, our super producer and genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up, Mike? I'm telling you, like, falling into that rat hole every now and again, no fun. But at least I always find my way out. Happy
you
about
find
that.
Find your way out.
Happy to be here.
Through the grace of the Chicago Bean, you make your way home. Morgan, buddy, it's been a minute. How you been? How's things?
I am utterly inundated with absolutely everything Final Fantasy this past month.
You have been the most hyped about Final Fantasy
it's
since
almost
they announced it.
Too much. I think now, you know, when, when you're a kid, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, I could eat the whole candy store and then you're like allowed to do that. And you're just like drunk and high and like, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm like halfway there, I think, with Final Fantasy. I mean, every day is just kind of like a shock of, I mean, on weekly
MTG. I can't believe there's more.
Yeah, on weekly MTG, literally yesterday, as we live and breathe, there were like 50 reveals of commons and uncommons. And I'm like, does this happen normally? Like in the last week, previews are done on Friday, I believe.
Which is wild.
And I'm like, we got 50? We got 50 guys still? And I mean, you know, 99% of those commons and uncommons were probably legendary. I mean, it's all a blur. But regardless, this set looks fun, dude. I mean, I'm a little bit,
don't get me started,
cracked out and geeked out, but I mean, like,
you are on one.
The second those cards hit my fingers, I'm gonna be up in orbit, my guy.
Dude, I know. You are the one person I think of when it comes to Final Fantasy, and I think, okay, she wants this. She wants this set to be good so bad. I really hope for you it is. And then I'm looking at these and I'm like, yo, these cards are pretty sick. Lots of cool stuff out there. Really looking forward to getting my hands on a lot of them. But I will say, not all of them. It is a standard set after wall. Man, really chewed on my tongue on that one. It's a standard set after all. Don't take that out, Ken. Let them know I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm not the perfect person they think I am. Man, could you imagine? I really thought that people liked me so much that I'm perfect. What a nightmare scenario. I think about you when it comes to this set because you've been the most excited for it since the announcement. And I gotta say, I thought that I could skip this one. Can't skip it. Really excited about it, actually. Lots of cool stuff happening. And dude, I don't know what else to say, but I'm building more commanders. Like, there's a lot of stuff in here that I'm building. I'm looking at tinkering and building. How fun is that? You know? Yeah, I don't know. I want to get into it a little bit more maybe later, but I do want to start by saying, shout out to our sponsors. We do have two sponsors. Shout out to BoneBoxGames.com. Get your BoneBox stuff, your deck boxes, your playmats. They've got a new playmat for Guppy's art on out and available. It's from the fresh baked deck box insert. It just looks cool. It's cute. It's cute but morbid. It's nice. I really like Guppy's work. So shout out to Guppy's, but also BoneBox Games. Use promo code BOLCAST for a little something something off. And big fan of the deck boxes that I got from them. Tarot has been just the perfect deck box to slide into my backpack when I'm headed out and maybe going to get a game in with some pals when everybody's tired of playing board games except for me and my buddy who want to play one game of Dual Commander. So we play that. But also we have another sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Check out the referral link in the description. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Morgan, you normally have a story for us about Cardsphere. You got anything this week?
Yes, I finally managed to get rid of. Okay, so preface this with the fact that I am a sucker for secret layers. It's been a while, and by a while I say at least a month, that I've bought a secret layer. Okay, and the last secret layers I bought were, unfortunately, for better or worse, the SpongeBob one and the Deadpool one. And I've still got your birthday card, by the way, coming to you Mike, with your Deadpool trading card. So happy birthday.
Excitement.
From me in the United States Postal Office. But I did manage to crack open a couple SpongeBob secret layers and the rainbow foil ones. Got like my cute little foil Krabby Patty and my Joda SpongeBob, which is cool, I guess.
It's the bane at tables, but it's a very fun thing to see SpongeBob on the card. I didn't think I'd like it so much, but then yeah, it's nice. It's kind of fun to see it flipped up in the command zone. You're like, oh wow. It softens the blow of you playing against a Joda deck.
Yes, and best game system in the world. Shout out to all of my haters who despise UB, but seeing SpongeBob in Magic is really freaking cool.
Yeah.
That being said, so in the Secret Layers, they have the, what is it, like the promo cards? There's like a sheet of cards that, you know, you get one per Secret Layer. Yep. And I unfortunately did not get the Counterspell meme one that had like the capital and uncapital letters counter target spell.
Yeah.
I got the Dismember with the my leg guy.
Nice.
And that was like $1 billion when it came out, and so I wasn't able to sell it. Unfortunately, didn't really want it to keep it. I thought it was cute, but it's just like Amiibo's, like, you know, get rid of it while it's high. Somebody managed to purchase it from my marketplace, and it is currently on its way to them. Really happy about it, because it's one of those things that, like, it feels less like I got out of it and like made a profit, and more like I think it's so funny that this is all this person bought. So like they saw this and they were like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I've been waiting. You know what I mean? Like, it's different when it's a card like that. Like, it's a meme card. You know what I mean? Like, like that brought joy to somebody's life when they saw it and they said, add to cart. And I mean, that's exactly how I am, right? Like, that's why I spent 30 cents on a 1 cent foil. It sparks joy, right? That's what it's all about. So I'm really happy that, you know, my kind of lack of interest in keeping this card around made somebody else happy enough to buy it from me. So that's what's in the pipeline. And also just really happy that's something that Cardsphere can do for someone, right? I mean, catch me adding a card at 2 a.m. as per usual. That's some real happiness right there.
Yeah, exactly. You put it on your wants list, and then it's like, oh, woke up to a notification. Something's on the way.
Oh, yeah. Aha. It's drugs.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for the sponsor. It's drugs.
Thank you, Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Make sure to use the referral code and sign up, baby. Now, we do have a caller calling in, and I'm just waiting for him. We're just going to... Hey, there it is. There's a phone. Yeah, there's the button I push to ring the phone. Here I go now. We're going to answer the phone call. Okie dokie. See you on the other side. Bye-bye. It's time for another caller on the line. Who am I talking to today?
Hey there. My name's Dan Sheehan. that's my caller voice.
Yeah, there he is.
Hey there, folks. Yeah, it's me. It's me, Dan. Hey, I'm back. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Technically the first ever guest of the show until Dana Roach had his recording earlier.
Oh, I forgot I got scooped. Yeah, now
you got scooped by a couple hours.
I get to be mad all over again. And he's even, my whole name's in his name. So that's right. I wasn't even the first Dan.
That's right. That's what you get. That's what you get by being a really sweet person. And honestly, through no fault of your own. That's what you get.
I suffered the sweetie's fate.
It really is the sweetie's fate. You just, hey, I agree. And then somebody gets one over on you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about that? I don't know. We'll have a nice time. We'll bring you on again is what we're doing.
It's good to be here.
It's nice to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. I always love getting to chat. I always love coming back. I always love talking about weird Commander Salt stuff because I feel like it always comes up. So I'm glad to have an outlet, you know?
Hell yeah, buddy. I can't wait to get to your story. I do know that you've got some cool things coming up for yourself. I know that you're expecting a little guy.
That's exciting. We got a baby coming in late June, which is very exciting. We just got to see, they do like a 3D image now when you go to the doctor. They don't just do the usual like sonogram thing. They like did a 3D recreation of the baby based off the scan, which I was like
feelings about that. What do you think?
I was just like cute, but also like kind of off-putting, and also like yeah. Part of me was like, I wanted like a spoiler warning to be like, don't show me my baby's nose yet. Like that's,
yeah, I get
that's
that.
Supposed to be a surprise. It was just yeah. Like it was very real. But yeah, so we've done all that. And then kind of our big project before we go into like full on parent mode is that Julia and I made a card game together that is coming
Let's
out.
Talk about it.
Depending on when this releases, it's either out now or it's out. June 10th is the current Kickstarter launch date for that.
June 10th? You mean, isn't that today? Aren't we June 10th?
It is. I guess it happens to be just today when I'm calling in.
It happens to be June 10th. Today's release.
Today's the day. It's June 10th. The game is called Who's a Good Boy? It's about dogs. Specifically dogs doing sins and good deeds. It's a game of dog morality. So,
oh, actually, now that I'm looking at it, it's June 3rd. That's my bad.
Oh, it's June 3rd. I always am forgetting the day.
I'm forgetting the day too.
It's this baby. It's not even here yet. It's got my head all turned around. So we, Julia and I have been working on this project together for like a while. Julia, my wife, is an animator. She has worked on like Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites and stuff.
Hell yeah.
And she did all the art and I did all the jokes. And it's a game where you get like a little dog character and the dog does, you like flip a trait and you do good deeds and sins to decide who gets what trait. So your dog can become like bad with money or like, you know, like all these different, you're like building your character out as you go. And so that is that's the game. And if you want to know more about the Kickstarter, it's over at dogscansin.com. I got us a nice, easy to remember redirect.
Dogs can sin.
It's
dogs can sin.
Dogscansin.com. That'll show you some of the Julia art. We're like releasing a little bit more every week. I guess by now today, June 3rd, most of the dogs are out there in the world. We're kind of in our pre-release excitement. So yeah, I'm stoked about it. We've been talking about doing this for forever. And when the baby stuff came around, we were like, we kind of got to do it this year, or we're like,
hell yeah,
waiting a few more years. So we went for it.
I love this already. This looks so fun. This is very cute.
Julia's really been having a blast with the art. It's, she just keeps drawing dogs doing various crimes, which is a fun way to spend a day.
You know what though? An abundance of cat art all over the internet. Many artists love cats, love cat art. Rare that you see a lot of dog cartoon art. And I'll tell you this, another thing your game has going for it. Look, cats, they're great. I just don't get along with them most of the time. They see that I want it too much, and that hurts me. But, you know, so every now and then a cat will love me, and I would die for that cat. But we've already got exploding kittens. What are we talking about? We don't need another cat cartoon game. Who's a good boy? Now that we're talking about dogs, I'm into that.
Yeah, we originally had the idea of just making this game about dog philosophers somehow debating over like who is truly a good boy. What is a good boy?
That's so dumb.
That was the seed that planted this. The first version of the game had a gavel. It was we play tested a lot of different stuff.
Is there no more gavel? I want
There's
the gavel.
No more gavel.
God damn it, Dan.
From what I've learned about how games are manufactured, if we still had a gavel involved in this game, we would be financially ruined because of all the trade war stuff
point.
Going. It would be like a $500 gavel, so we really lucked out abandoning it.
That's a really good point.
It's been a very fun, goofy journey to like turn it into from like just an idea the two of us had into this, because we wanted to work on something together forever, and it's been
a real blast. If I get really good at this game and I see an opportunity for an expansion, I will work in a bone gavel without without it requiring. Look, it'll be a bone gavel card. How about that? There's a bone gavel involved, and it's instructions on how to make your own bone gavel. A DIY bone gavel. It does involve digging in a place you're not supposed to be. And you know, you find yourself a really sturdy bone. You know what? This is going to be in the expansion. We'll figure that out later. I love this. This is so cute. This is so fun. And you're in the right place because, you know, these guys love card games. And I say these guys, I mean me and Morgan. What am I talking about? You're in the right place. A bunch of our listeners also love a card game. You might have heard of it, called Magic the Gathering. Big fan of that one.
I've played once. I've dabbled in Magic the Gathering occasionally.
Dabbled in Magic the Gathering.
Certainly haven't let it define my entire adult life. I definitely haven't done that.
Damn, scary sentence out there. It's a sentiment that I can't. Damn. I slowly take down the playmats that are on my wall as decoration.
I'm playing on a gold saber tooth playmat right now. It's my desk mat, so it's everywhere.
You're telling me I've got Iroha's God of Victory underneath my
keyboard.
Yeah,
I got a little sliver right here. It blurred his face out like he's in an investigation.
Witness protection sliver.
He's diamond on the sliver overlord.
Honestly, here's a design idea. Gavin, stop listening. A sliver... Witness protection sliver, when you play this sliver, all slivers lose all abilities and become 1/1 legitimate business slivers.
That would rock.
They have to stay slivers for them to not become this like weird layers interaction where they lose a type and then become a different type. They have to stay slivers so that you know that it's not like this weird situation that's a judge's nightmare and causes like an automatic draw or something.
It is fun to try and design a card that would make a judge's head burst, though.
But we already have humility, so I don't think we... we already have the mutate mechanic. I think we're...
Yeah, that one Sphinx with the second main.
Yeah, the Sphinx of the second sun.
Yeah.
What about Deadpool trading card?
Oh, that's God, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, although I guess they're doing the work of making judges' heads explode.
They're doing it themselves. I like Deadpool... becoming so popular because of the fact that now people understand the rules better when they show up to a table, because it's like, no, I had to look this up. Deadpool, if you give him Myriad, he comes in as a copy of himself, not the copy that he is. Okay, anyway.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I don't remember the ruling. I might be talking out of my ass. Sorry, Ken. Are we bleeping ass? I feel like we don't bleep ass.
We don't bleep ass here.
I don't think we bleep ass. You know what? If we don't bleep ass, at least just throw a bleep here for good measure. Thank you, Ken. Awesome.
Much appreciated, Ken.
So, yeah, buddy. I mean, I, of course, know that you've played Magic for a long time because of Commander Sphere podcast and then the Pie Break podcast. And you've recently taken a step back away from the Magic podcasting world, leaving behind a ton of episodes that are still available for you to listen. So if you ever want to listen to discussions about color pie theory and how they apply to different things and franchises, and did you do one about like certain feelings, like a more abstract one? I feel like there was
me and Kira, who does Magic Story. We did one about that sucks. Oh, sorry, Ken. That is that one.
Sorry,
that
Ken.
One gets
yeah.
a bleep for sure. We did one about things that are just not fun. So things that give off bad vibes. So it was like parking tickets and stuff. It was It was
the
very
more
conceptual
stuff. I liked that one a lot. I remember that.
Those are always fun.
I loved your podcast, but I understand having to take a step away from it. And, you know, it's still out there for anybody that wants to listen. What was it?
Yeah.
2 years of it. You got lots of episodes to dig into.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch out there. It's, my time is needed for various dad tasks, but I'm very, very stoked with all the stuff I got to make when I was making it.
Hell yeah. Well, stepping away from Pybrick doesn't mean you stepped away from Magic. I know you still playing. I know that you have a story that you want to talk about. You've got something that we were texting about that I'm quite excited to get into.
So, yeah, this one is like... this is not necessarily an action I took in game that caused Salt so much as my reaction to someone else's action in game. And I'm kind of curious, there's like those in like the Am I the Asshole post, there are those answers. Sometimes it'll be like, everyone here's an asshole or something like that.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out if it's one of those situations. Yeah. So we met these two guys at a con. It was me and my friend. And then we ran into these two guys who were friends, which is kind of like, dream setup for a pod of strangers at a con is like two pairs of two friends. Does a lot of the social legwork for you because everybody knows somebody and nobody's like locked in feeling like, oh, how do I talk to strangers?
It's a great dynamic when it comes to finding a pod among like at a con or an LGS. It's the way to go. I love that configuration.
Yeah. And so we sit down with these guys and we're doing all our Rule Zero stuff. I'm outlining what I got. They're saying what they got. And they're like, main thing is like one of them is very like taking charge on what the rules are going to be for this game.
Can I interrupt here and ask if this story is going to require us to know the names, like not
of the guys?
Actual names, but we can give them names. Is this one of those like one of these guys says this and then this guy does this?
Yeah, let's call him
an opportunity for names are fun. I like yeah, a good name.
We're gonna call him George and Jum.
Jum.
So Jum's the quiet friend. George has a lot of rules that he's making right now, okay. And Jum's the quiet friend.
That does track. I think George is a loud name.
Yeah, George is a chatty name for sure. So George is like outlining kind of what game expectations he and Jum have for this game.
Got it.
And George is very diehard of, we don't want the game. We don't want anyone winning this game before turn eight. He says he's like, this is like before turn eight. Like if anyone wins before turn eight, then we've done something wrong. Like we want a game that lasts at least like eight turns or whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is like a very intense way of saying specific. I want like a slower game or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, all right. Like, and this was like a little while, like games are a little faster now. Turn eight's longer than it once was.
Yeah. Turn eight's already where like I feel most comfortable in like letting a game die, but I'd be lying if I said that I didn't expect to start at turn six now.
Yeah. I usually expect there to be like a win con I have to swat away by turn six or seven. Like, sure. If not, sometimes like an early, if someone's playing like an aggro or something crazy, like turn five, things will heat up a little bit.
Yeah. Games got but faster.
So it's like, I was like fine with doing a turn eight because I was like, I've got decks that run at that speed. I can make that work. So me and my buddy, we take out our decks. We play the first game. George is playing something kind of very themed and like very casual battle cruisery. And Jum is playing the mono black golem and not the one that makes you guess.
Oh, the one that's like the one that if you've been dealt by it, you lose life at some point or something.
Yeah, it's basically like a sack. It ends up being like a mono black kind of like sacrificey, life drainy, life gainy pile. And so we pass.
Oh, I have it here. The Golem Obsessed Stalker.
Yeah, that's
the beginning of your end step. Each opponent dealt damage by this game by a creature named Golem Obsessed Stalker loses life equal to the amount of life you gain this turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so like we play through with this. Turn six happens. Turn seven happens. I'm starting to like heat up. I'm like, all right, my deck's, you know, I've got all this stuff in hand. Like, let's go for it. And then this guy hits his turn eight, Jum, the quiet one.
Jum, okay.
Kind of dumps his hand and then just immediately assembles and finishes a game finishing combo, like on turn eight.
Like Sanguine Bond, Exquisite Blood, which wouldn't be the worst thing to find in this deck. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like he just like I forget exactly what card did it, but he just like drains the table out, ends the game freshly on turn eight. Like we didn't even really get a chance to get started. And so he does that right away. We shuffle up and we play again and he switches decks. And then the same sort of thing starts winding up where this guy is kind of just sitting there. Like this time he's playing Titania. Like I think it's the base Titania, the one that gives you the 5/3 elementals and stuff.
Argoth. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he sets up this
monocolor guy over here.
Yeah, big monocolor guy.
Okay.
And it's turn seven again, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, my deck could win right now with everything I have on the board. But like, I told this guy turn eight, and he seemed, you know, George seemed like he was gonna be upset.
It's got to be turn eight, or it's not. It's not magic.
And I like didn't even really think about the Jum win in game one. I was just like, whatever he won, he went off mono black. Mono black does what mono black does. Mm-hmm. But then turn eight hits immediately, slam, 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 sacrifice situation with all these lands, just like immediate dead on board. Like he's just been
holding his hand and just got it.
And the dynamic that becomes clear to me right away is that like these two are not in agreement about this. And so I like kind of stop the win as it's going. And I was like, so, hey, man, you can I just like get straight what's happening here? Like I was very salty at this. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, you sat down and you told us like you don't want anyone to start trying to win until after turn eight, that like turn eight is like when it is the soonest we can start presenting our something that could result in you winning the game. Have you told your friend this? Like it's like what I said, where I was like, does he know? Because like your friend is kind of just sitting here and then dumping his hand to win like the second he can.
Yeah.
It's not really like a game so much as just like it feels like he knows your pay. I was like, this feels like a Boardwalk Con. This feels like you go up and tell him turn eight, and then I, on my turn eight, like I drop the win, and then we both get to walk home with the purse. Like,
yeah,
that was the energy I was getting from these guys. And like, they just both like fully clammed up as though I had like, I don't know if they felt found out or if they had never thought about it once before in their life. But me and my buddy are just like, yeah, you kind of like were really intense about telling us we couldn't play anything until turn eight. And then both of these games, you just slammed down a win con on turn eight, like
bulldozing.
It was just to me an example of how like, well, I guess before we get in it. So I kind of yell at these guys and we stop. Playing. I don't yell at them, but I'm just like, this is not how I want to play this game. This is an insane way to play Commander. You guys clearly have like your own way of doing this. And they were like, you sure you don't want to play game three now that we've like talked about it? I was like, no, man, like, I think I kind of get what's going on here. And your buddy has like turn five decks and he's just waiting until turn eight to play them. The fun button on the story is that after all this ends, me and my buddy, you know, kind of wash ourselves clean of that whole situation. And we're walking around and we get down to the main floor of this hotel and we see who is locked out of the, they're in the parking garage and a door has locked behind them, but our two friends. And they're just standing on the other side of a glass door, like yanking at it, like, shit, we're locked out and we don't have like the thing we need to get back in. And they just like, they look at us and they see it's us. And I have this like this this beautiful moment where it's like, I know I'm going to open that door. I'm a nice boy. I'm not going to leave them locked outside.
You're not going to be a prick.
but they had to look at me and be like, can you let us back in? And I just was like, hey guys, open the door. And then they came back in and we all went our separate ways. But it was
open the door and say, wow, it must be turn eight. If you're,
I said, sorry. Yeah, I got to wait two turns before I can open the door. It's a little early for this.
Yeah.
Just checking my watch. All right, Strang, now you can come in. So I felt a little bad after. I felt like I was like, did I jump down these guys' throats for no reason? Was it just that it was like kind of two tough beats from the same guy assembling like uninteractable value engines?
Well, I have an opinion. Obviously, it's difficult to do stories on the podcast, especially among friends, because you want to be objective in the way that you're like, and but then you remember that the whole deal of the show is that it's a podcast about feelings as much as it's about a card game and doing what's best for the card game. There's no way to be fully objective about that because it's all subjective anyway. I will say that you telling me the story definitely immediately gets me going like, well, that's my boy. I trust him immediately. And so I want to hear more about this, like yelling at him kind of thing. When I think of you, I think you're capable of yelling, but I don't think you get there publicly. I feel like that if you're yelling, it's like you might have like a private moment of like in your car after something and you kind of just let out like a sorry, Ken. But what I'm hearing when you're yelling, like your version of yelling is very much like what I would consider like also my version of like yelling, in the sense of like, I'm going to raise my voice a little bit and I'm going to speak a little bit faster and just be like, hey, no, I see what's going on here. Like, look, we don't have to pretend.
So you've figured me out to a T here. It's again like the Sweetie's fate where I will pick something. I'll be dealing with like a work thing or something and I'll show an email to Julia where I'll be like, I'm so frustrated with this client I'm working with. They're so like annoying and they're like giving, one person's giving me feedback on one thing and the other's giving me feedback on the other. I've composed what I believe to be the rudest email I've ever written, and she'll read it and it'll be like, hey, need a little clarity on this. Anytime works. Thanks. Bye. Like,
I'll tell a stand-up story for you right now if you want to hear this. You know Steph Tolev? Steph Tolev, amazing Canadian comic. She's been living in LA for a long time. She's tearing it up. I was at her comedy special recording, but Tolev is someone I've known for a very long time. And at Just for Last 1 year, I had it out with somebody in the like at the bar, and we were like all kind of hanging out, and I was like very stern and very like what I thought was like loud and rude and mean. And you know, they walked away and I turned to Steph and I was like, man, I'm so sorry. Like, I know we've known each other a long time, but it is still embarrassing that you saw me kind of like lose control back there and like kind of just go off. And she was like, that's you going crazy? That's what you think is getting. Oh, that's adorable. You think that's you. And she called someone over and was like,
oh no.
Luckily, it's like we're all among friends that, you know, it's like that's what a festival will do. You know, you're around for so long. But it was a funny, like, we got to laugh about it. But it is the sweetie's fate of, like, exactly what you're saying. That email, oh, I'm so mad, I can't wait to... And then you show the email, it's like, hey, excuse me, could I also just perchance ask you that maybe one source of feedback at a time, please?
Yeah.
You know,
that
like,
is... So that was the energy I brought to the table, was it was like, I, in my head, advocating for myself in any capacity is the craziest thing I could possibly do.
Yeah.
And so I, to these guys, it was less of a like, hey, fuck you, fuck your decks, I'm fucking done with this. Sorry, Ken. you know, like, it was not like one of those moments where I'm like, I'm standing up and I'm like, you get that trash out of here. You think you're magic players? Like, I was just like, man, like, this seems kind of like, I feel grifted. Like, I used the word grifted. Yeah. I was like, I feel like you guys are running like a grift here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good to play against. Like, playing against this just sort of felt like you waited and had built your decks in this weird, specific turn 8 meta.
Yeah.
And like, were built specifically to dump resources for the whole first 8 turns and then still have a handful of stuff to play.
Uh-huh.
At the end. And so meanwhile, it's like I was sitting there like playing stuff in a normal way where it's like, oh, I'm gonna put this down on like turn 3 or whatever and it'll sit around. And it's like, well, they'd have the interaction because they just like weren't really doing much,
right? Except, because they're holding it back. They're holding back the stuff that they want to play at the end of the game.
Yeah. And so it's like, it felt like somebody brought, like, you'll see those viral Reddit posts that are about like absurd rules from a commander player at my LGS, and you're always like, kind of positive that they're not real. But this felt like a real version of that, where it was like two guys who just were in this meta that plays this weird way, brought it to a public place, and kind of maybe we were the first they played against, or the face that George gave Jum kind of implied that like this is Jum's deal, that Jum is that Jum like does this, that Jum like wins fast. The reason I started to feel bad,
okay,
was because. So I started to feel like maybe what was happening here was that this guy, Jum, spikes a lot, and that he builds like really powerful decks. And this, his friend, likes to build these dirtily piles. And the best like middle ground they could come to was this turn 8 rule that his friend basically gets to do what George wants for 8 turns. And then Jum hits him in the head with a tire iron on turn 8, and that is just the hell that these two guys are in.
That's brutal, though. What a weird way to approach the game.
Yeah.
I think the story is interesting in that, like, it makes me feel like these two are friends beyond Magic, but they shouldn't, they probably would not prioritize playing with each other if they had other people to play Magic with.
Absolutely. It felt like that.
It's a real bummer too, because like I think that the idea of like turns is a good way to measure a deck's ability, like saying this doesn't normally go for a win until this turn, right?
Yeah.
It's capable of doing it sooner. It's obviously capable of doing it later, but around this turn is when I normally get to start cooking up a win. And that's a fine way to be like, you know, before having the bracket system, which is a whole beast of its own type. And then you've also got like, you know, the rating on a scale of 1 to 10, which never really quite worked. The turns thing was something that would work for a while. You know, you kind of be like, this is my deck, this is what it does. Usually starts to try to win around this turn and be like, okay, well, I'm going to pull out something that's about that speed, and you pull it up, versus these guys that come in and go, this is the only way we play. This is the only way that we play Commander. This is how we do it. And then it just kind of feels like Jum is like, okay, I can do that. And is just building for that moment. And what a bummer that is to just like recognize that, like, don't you have to have a moment after all that and go, maybe I haven't been playing Magic for this long, you know? Like,
that was how I felt, was that they had basically invented a second game that like, what they were playing was essentially a game of Commander where for 8 turns, all you can really do is cast like ramp spells or signets, and like you can cast out, you can like remove stuff if you want, but like for the most part they were just like, when I went back and thought about the games, I was like George was playing like some sort of dirtily thing that was so slow it probably wasn't going to even win by turn 10. Meanwhile, Jum is sitting there just ramping signets, occasional interaction with something he doesn't like, but like mostly draw spell, ramp spell, draw spell, ramp spell, full grip of seven, whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Turn eight comes, do the thing, and he's got his four cards he needs to win, plus a couple pieces of interaction to like keep him safe. Dump your whole hand and you're good. And my feeling is probably like George probably squeezes out a win like one in every 10 games against him, and it probably feels like a like watching a horse run in a field for him.
Yeah. I mean, and I have to assume that those wins that happen for George are usually ones that Jum kind of lets happen.
Yeah.
You know, by the way this sounds. Like, if you see somebody with like a full grip and you're just watching them kind of dirtle and like ramp and stuff, and this, and you know that turn eight is when people are starting to win, and then they start playing their third spell on turn eight, you're like, so you built this way. Like, you know, yeah, that you know that where the hose is, and that you can like bend it until you can let it ride, you know?
Yeah, like that's what I was thinking, like kind of with the grift thing, where it's like these are decks built for a meta that doesn't exist anywhere other
exactly
than with these two guys. And so it's like they and they alone, when they get you to agree to this one rule, which is like, it's so different than saying like my deck goes off around turn eight, to be like, if you win before turn eight, it doesn't count. It's like, well, that's a different, I would build my decks differently if Commander worked that way. If like, if there was some rule that was like, if a player would win the game before turn eight, instead their life total is reduced to zero or something, like, you know, I would not build my decks the way that I build them. And like, they clearly do.
Yeah. Which is so strange and weird. And I don't think, I've been tipping the hand a little bit in the interviews lately and just telling people how I feel about it before we go to the verdict. I just think this is such a wild way to play, and I probably would have been in the same situation. I don't know what friend you took with you to this game, but if it was me, I think we'd both be bouncing off each other going, yeah, you know, like, I agree completely. And then we'll say the same thing and be like, that's exactly what it feels like. And then, you know, I don't know. It just feels icky. I don't like it.
Yeah. I was worried that like calling them grifters was a step too far, but it resembled a grift. It felt a little bit like I was like, it was just like, all right, you set them up, I'll knock them down.
Yeah.
But if the grifters kind of seem to quietly hate playing Magic with each other.
That's so interesting though. I don't understand why. I guess I say that knowing full well the emails I get for the column. People have a hard time approaching other people or like making friends, and you know, that's a general thing, not just like a Magic player thing. Although I'm getting emails from Magic players who are asking how they can establish a play group and how they can find new people to play with, and you know, what to do when they don't like playing against a certain play style, and the answer is always, have a discussion, come to a compromise. Yeah. The thing is, these two have done that part. They've come to a compromise. They've had the discussion, but it's still not clicking. And that's going to come to a head to another time. And it had with you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no way that system kept going the way it did after these games. I can't imagine it kept it.
It feels like one of those weird things you develop, like, in your house or something like that, where he'll be like, oh, this is how we play this game. You know, we have like our house rule for Monopoly or something like that.
Game.
Or even just like a weird niche way you like learn to talk with your partner or something. It's like when you accidentally, you know how everyone kind of has like a weird language with their partner when you live together that you start to develop, and you accidentally say one of the goof-ass words out in public, and you're like, oh my God, I just said that in front of people. Like, they're going to know that we talk like goofballs at home. It was sort of like that, but for Magic players, where they were just like, oh, you have to speak the weird language with us at the con. Like, you have to say the weird words with us. It was so weird.
I'll give you this. I don't think you're the bolus here. We'll see what Morgan thinks, but I think I'm pretty certain that I don't think you are. I can't imagine. I'm trying to picture like one of my decks, because a lot of my decks don't tend to win until turn 7 or 8 either, right? But they are also very incremental in that, like, I love 1,000 cuts. You know me. I'm an Aristocrats guy through and through. And I'm thinking, like, my Taysa deck or my Lizolda deck. And I'm like, well, you got a Zulaport Cutthroat and a Marionette Apprentice in these decks. And plenty of stuff to love about those. But, you know, all the setup ends up being little hacks at the life totals here and there. And so it's incremental, but eventually it'll get there.
Yeah. Would have fared very well in their meta. They might have complained that you had dealt so much damage to them early on.
Which at that point, then what's the problem? You know, because I'm like, it would be one of those things where, like, okay, I'm playing by your rules. You know, hey, it's turn 7 and I've brought you all down to 3 life apiece. I understand that it kind of sucks, but also, wouldn't you rather this game have ended instead of having to wait for your upkeep or me having to respond, like, when you're about to do something and be like, well, it's either lose the game or win on turn 7? Like, I don't know.
And it was, like, refracted by the whole point of, like, I also had a win in hand that I was sitting on.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, like, because then in this weird format you've created, like, turn order really matters, where it's like, if you are first person to hit turn 8 or whatever, you just get the first shot at winning. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so then you have to make sure you're playing with people with, like, Force of Wills or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, guess you didn't win this time, huh, buddy? And you're like,
Right. The main reason I thought I was the bolus in that is because usually my hard line on any game, no matter how miserable, is that, like, feedback should be delivered kind of in, like, a measured, like, you know, like, if you're feeling bad, you take it home with you and, you know, complain to a friend about it or something like that. But that I don't like being like, ah, that sucked, man. You know, like, I try to avoid making anybody feel bad about the way they play Magic or whatever. Sure. And I definitely broke that by being like, you guys play Magic like Boardwalk Con Men was maybe.
Okay, fair. But I do think that that's a standard that you're holding yourself to that I think is still, I still think that's feedback that is worth hearing. Because if that's how you felt and you're the first one that they're encountering that is feeling that way or speaking up about it, versus them going through a litany of people just, like, sitting down with them, agreeing to their 8-turn thing, them doing that whole thing to them and being like, I think we're good, we'll find another game. You know, like, instead, here you are being like, hey, this kind of sucked in a way that, like, is pushing me away in a big way, so I'm gonna get out of here, but it sucked that this is the way you did it. Now they have something to focus on and be like, well, maybe it does suck, and that explains why we can't get a group together, like, there's something else to explore and stuff. I don't think it's a bad thing to tell people that you had a bad time playing with them.
Yeah.
I think that there's definitely a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But,
like, I remember I played at the LGS with, like, man, 3 dudes. One of them was a real try-hard edgelord bro. Really sucked. Said he was bringing out his Zozu the Punisher deck. And I was like, look, I opted to play a really slow deck. I was playing my Grixis Upkeeps deck, the Doctor one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I told you that I'm playing a really slow deck that, like, needs to take its time. And you're playing Zozu the Punisher, which I'm going to have to assume is like a mana flare kind of thing, or like a Barbie kind of deck, or it's like it's a Punisher deck. Like, this isn't really quite the matchup that I want to be having. But if this is the deck that you really want to play right now, that's fine. I think I want to change my deck, though. And then one of the other guys is like, oh, but you talked about this deck so much, I want to see it. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll play it. So we end up playing it. Zozu doesn't bother telling anybody that's a land destruction deck.
Ugh.
And so a bunch of us are kind of just like, all right, well, at least we have our artifacts. And then we go a couple more turns and Jockal Hops knocks out all the artifacts, continues to do this. And I'm just like, you know, at a certain point, I'm just like, hey, this really sucked. We could play other games that don't suck, but this really sucked. This is the kind of thing that you discussed before, and I did not have a good time, especially that I had to plead with you before, and there was no compromise, and I wanted to keep this guy happy because I had a good time playing with him before, but I did not enjoy playing with you, especially with this deck. Did you bring another deck with you? And he said, yeah. And then he pulled out another deck that was basically like removal dot deck. Like nothing, nothing stuck around. And I at turn five, I kind of looked at him. I said, if this is the kind of game that you like to play, it's not really for me. And I would like to know up front if this is what you do. Is this what you do? Do you sit down with people and expect to play a game? Or do you sit down with people and part of the fun for you is getting a rise out of people?
I really love, is this what you do? Because it is such a, it's not a mean question unless you're doing something
shitty. Exactly. Sorry, Ken. And it can only, you can only interpret it that way if you realize and recognize that you're doing something shitty. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, like you have to kind of sit in the bed you've made a little bit in that. And I like that sort of review of just like, is this what you came here for? Is that is this the plan?
Yeah.
Because Magic can be two games. It can be a game of playing cool things or a game of removing other people's cool things. And balance means technically it should be both. But I feel like Commander is kind of the like make cool stuff format. Make
cool stuff. That's right. That's what I want. And that's what I expect out of games. This guy just wants to infuriate others. And so I asked him and he was like, what are you even talking about? And his friend is like, oh, no, he's a total troll. Like, I'm like, oh, is he like one of these guys that's always online being a real dick about stuff? And he's like, oh, yeah, constantly. I'm like, but this is your friend. He's like, yeah, one of my oldest friends. I'm like, so there's some good to him, hopefully, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so does he ever bring that out at Magic or no? He's like, well, I mean, not that you've seen. I'm like, and I turned to him. I'm like, do you want to bring out that kind of vibe or not? And he was like, no, I want to play this deck. And I was like, all right, I'm scooping up. Take care.
Yeah.
Another guy at the table, the guy to my right that liked my upkeeps deck was like, yeah, I think I want to play another game with you instead. And so we found another two afterwards. It's just, I think that there's a way to discuss. Like, confrontation isn't always super negative, right? It's not, it's like, sure, it can be difficult for some people. And I think that part of it is like, because there's such a negative stigma to it, obviously you're delivering some bad news or you're like questioning a thing. But I think that it's a good thing because it releases you from this idea that there's like this underlying politeness that you're kind of ruled by.
Yeah.
Whereas this is still polite, this is still cordial, but I'm just asking you bluntly about your behaviors and how I don't want to interact with that kind of thing.
And if you're too polite, you suffer the sweetie's fate. And it's, you know, you don't want that.
Exactly. You don't want the sweetie's fate. You don't want to overstep and be like, I hate your deck and I think you're disgusting forever having built it, you piece of shit. Sorry, Ken. You're a fucking, sorry, Ken. You're a fucking asshole who sucks fucking every day of your life and might as well not even friggin' play Magic anymore, you fucking loser. No, that sucks. That would suck. I'm just like, is this what you enjoy? Because it's not what I enjoy. And I would rather not enjoy my time here. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was like kind of how I wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Like when I was talking to him, I said something at the end. I was like, you guys can't like, if you're going to walk around here playing games with people, you can't just say turn eight and not explain what you mean by like turn eight as, you know, as a concept. Like you got to tell people what to expect from these decks.
What they're kind of doing, it mimics like this idea of in CDH, which is like, okay, I'm going to go for the win. And they're expecting kind of this fight, but over the win. Like at that time. And that's not.
I never even thought about that. It's like they're playing slow CDH.
They're playing slow CDH. That's kind of what it feels like. Where they're literally like, okay, got to have all my answers in hand. Got to have my combo. And begin trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been stopped in this way. I can counter that with this. And you're like playing against two other people at the table who don't know that this is the deal. So you only have to have shields up for one person. That person's playing a dirtle deck. I wouldn't have been long at this table either. I think.
Yeah, two games. And they were, you know, they were both fast and slow because not much happened in those first eight turns.
Dude,
so
and the eight turns could take, it takes a while if you're like trying to mull over decisions and stuff. I would not have appreciated that game. Not for me. No, thank you.
That day, those wound up being my only games of untrusted play where I was just like, I was like,
yeah,
I gotta go take a cold shower after that. For sure. Like,
Yeah, that can be really tough. Like, that's the term untrusted play is like not my favorite, but playing commander with strangers at a place could go in such different directions. Like, I remember in Chicago, last con I went to, and I'm going to keep referencing it because it's going to be the last one for a while unless Canada has one, because I cannot come down there. It is too scary for me. Last time in Chicago, I played a game with our buddy Dan, Sweet Boy Fenton, mm-hmm. built that Old Man Thanos deck that I really wanted to see. And I'm playing with another guy who writes for Commander's Herald, and he was new to the game, and we were all kind of like, let's play decks that are going to go for a long time. Let's let this breathe a little bit. Dan's playing his deck that requires a lot of setup. I'm playing my Tayset deck, which can win quick, but I'm kind of just there to kind of balance things out so it doesn't, like, nobody overtakes.
Yeah, you can modulate with those.
Meanwhile, this guy sits down with us. He's like, what are you guys playing? I'm like, oh, we're kind of like in the bracket 3 space technically, but we're pushing for a bracket 2 kind of game. And he was like, okay, I hear you. Pulls out a mono green stompy deck and just starts aggroing my buddy who writes for Commander's Herald, and just goes in at him in a way that's like threatening to kill him on turn 3 or 4. Oof. And he hasn't had anything happen so far. And at that point, Dan and I end up doing a bunch of stuff to his board and kind of being like, chill. And then he goes at it again. And then we kind of just like, okay, well, we're going to take you out. And we kill him. Because it's not the vibe. It's not how it works.
It really feels like a guy sat down at the bar with you three and could not hang. It's like, oh, this guy can't riff. We got to kill him.
That's literally it, dude. That's exactly it. You want to show up. You want to be the right vibe to hang for a while. And this guy could not do that. I'm sorry if you're a listener and you hear this and you want to identify yourself. It is what it is. I'm just not going to be shy to tell you that it kind of sucked to watch you then storm off whining about it. Like a child.
The thing is, like, people, most of the time I've ever distributed harsher criticism in Magic, it's rarely taken well.
Which is, yeah.
It's tough. It's personal. A lot of it is communication skills, which are like, you know, kind of a hot button issue within this particular community. Like, everybody kind of has their own way of communicating. And obviously there are tons of mitigating factors that can make you better or worse at it. But I've seen some people who were grown adults with all faculties for dealing with confrontation in a mature way still kind of find a way to, like, storm off and make it everybody else's problem just because somebody was like, oh, I didn't want this to happen. Like, we talked about this.
It is a human thing to be in your emotion and to be reactive too. Like, it's fair. Like, I've had moments where I've had to take a walk, but, like, this was different. You know. So all that to say, confrontation, not always a bad thing. I don't think you're the bolus. And dogscansin.com.
Dogscansin.com.
Hit us one more time with the info about this. Also, don't forget to plug yourself. I know you stepped away from podcasting, but you're still around. You're still kicking.
Yeah.
You're still doing stuff.
So the game is called Who's a Good Boy? It is a card game where you pick a dog character and you get to define who they are with traits by committing various sins, crimes, and good deeds. And so you can find more info about that. Its Kickstarter campaign should be starting on June 10th. You can find it at dogscansin.com. If you are looking for me, I'm on Blue Sky at Dan Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N. And that's about it these days as far as like what I'm doing on the internet. I'm finishing up my book, which we'll see when that comes out. But it's that's been a long time coming. So if that gets any sort of publishing news, it'd probably be end of this year. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. But it's a little early days. I just have a manuscript I'm staring at right now.
Be sure to follow Dan on Blue Sky for updates on all the stuff. I mean. Buddy, I love you so much. I'm so glad we got to do this, and I love the reason for calling in. Wild story, but also very excited to hear about this card game. Really excited.
Thank you, man, and thank you again for having me. I always love getting to chat and hang out, and any excuse, really. I'll take it. I'll play those guys again.
It's just so easy. It's so easy to be like, yeah, get over here.
Yeah, I'll talk to my buddy.
I'll have a hang.
A little hang.
So make sure all goes well. This comes out June 3rd, 1 week from today. You get up on your Kickstarter. You can go now. You can go on Kickstarter now.
Yeah.
Dogsconsend.com. Go to Kickstarter now. You can have an alert sent to you to remind you that it's happening.
Straight to your inbox. Dogsconsend.com just redirects you right to the pre-follow page. So it's all right there.
And you can back it and you'll get yourself a dope game made by great people. And I'm really excited.
Sub $25 too, which we kept it cheap, all things considered.
Which is pretty sweet, exactly, all things considered.
Yeah, so, it's, you know, there could have been a gavel, but maybe in the expansion, you know.
Maybe in the expansion, a gavel made of bones that you have to make. Legally
DIY
speaking,
gavel.
We have nothing to do with this.
Where the bones come from, that's up to you.
You decide. Either way, dogsconsend.com, at Dan Sheehan. I don't know how Blue Sky works with the tags and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the dot B-Sky social,
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. We're going to have to get on the other side of this call and have a chat with Morgan to find out whether or not Dan is the bolus, even though I think he is not. But we're going to let it go. All right, we'll see you on the other side. What a lovely treat it is to have a conversation with my dear, dear friend, Dan Sheehan. Dan, obviously calling in with the story about whether or not he's the bolus, but more importantly, we brought him back so he could plug his game. He made a game with his wife. How nice is that? Who's a Good Boy? The game where dogs can sin is available for Kickstarter next week, literally June 10th. In June 10th, you can back this Kickstarter. Just go to dogscansin.com and just pre-save it. Get a notification for when it goes live and back it. Dan knows games, and he's designed a fun one. He's written it up, and he and Julia's illustrated it. And it's, frankly, it looks great. It looks like a lot of fun. I can't wait to get my hands on it. And it's always nice to have a buddy on the show. But more importantly, it's always nice to be able to support a friend you believe in. So shout out to Dan. I love you very much. Morgan actually went to the bathroom or something. She had to get out of here during the interview. I don't know when she's going to get back here. So we're just going to wait.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Sorry. I just went and grabbed a drink at the bar real quick.
Oh, you went to, but you weren't here for the interview?
No. I figured you guys seemed like you were hitting it off, and I didn't want to y'all were going down that road.
He was on to plug his new board game, his new card game board game.
Hell yeah.
Called but I guess you didn't get to hear the story about George and Jum.
Nah.
George and Jum aren't names
George
that you're familiar with.
George and Jum are
Jum.
Yeah. Of the jungle? What's going on?
Oh, good. Yes, George and Jum of the jungle. I could see the connection. Okay, well, I'll just vote like I did in the conversation with Dan directly and say, not the bolus. You're having a bad time playing with somebody. You don't got to keep playing with them. And also, what a wild rule to be like, turn eight is when you can win, and then you pop off and combo. Like, it's just like you're holding back the pressure of the hose, and then you're letting me go on turn eight. Come on, man. It's play EDH the way you want to play it, obviously. But then the moment you start imposing it on somebody and the game is rigged in a sense, who cares? And that'll do it for that. I guess, Morgan, you're back in time so we could talk about these commanders.
There are, yes, a lot of legendary creatures in this set. There are at least 87 for my last count.
are you for real? That's how many?
So we're just going to go through all 87 in this back half.
How about we pick two legends we like, maybe one we talk about a little bit more, and then the other one that we kind of like, oh, this one entices me, but I don't know if I'll build it, but it's interesting. Do you want to start or should I?
Yeah. So obviously I had this conversation with Matt Morgan of the EDH Rec cast when this card was spoiled, because him and I are really big fans of Final Fantasy 15. That's the Bros on the Road Final Fantasy, where you're with Noctis and his three other buddies in a car driving around the country, killing creatures and battling your personal demons. What? Final Fantasy is the greatest game series of all time. I'm sorry. Like, if that's all you need to know about it, and if that sounds even remotely enticing, I promise you it's 1,000 times better. So our wonderful prince, our wonderful royal gentleman, Noctis, Prince of Lucius. an Esper glass cannon artifact commander. I just immediately, yes, like the colors fit for flavor. We've been talking about this for weeks, like, and I'm sure you've heard it from other content creators. The flavor on every single one of these
already.
Yeah. The flavor on every single one of these cards is just absolutely spot on. And I was really worried that they would make him like maybe black, white, or what is it? His spotlight card is actually Kenrith, the Return King. So he's five color, which also makes sense if you played the game. But yes, Noctis is Esper colored, costs four, a human
perfect
noble
for my Esper girly over here. You yes. love Esper.
Yes. And so he's got lifelink. He's a 4/3. His ability, you may cast artifact spells from your graveyard by paying three life in addition to paying their other costs. If you cast a spell this way, that artifact enters with a finality counter on it. Ooh. And super big fan, anything artifacts, anything Esper. The access you get with these colors is incredible. Matt Morgan has a deck on Archidect if you want to check out his deck. Mine is going to be, yes. Oh, yeah. It's the first thing that the second this card was spoiled, he goes, it's Noctis. That's my boy. We're making a deck. So go check it out on Archidect, Matt Morgan's Archidect, and you can get your own Noctis build. I'm probably going to make one that's a little more geared towards Final Fantasy 15 if I possibly can. I think we'll have more than enough cards, but this just looks great. And I mean, the art looks great. I'm really excited to see my boy here, man. Like, there's so many cards.
I will
where
say,
I just be smiling. I'm ready. That's going to be my deck. That's going to be the one I build.
An excuse to run Solemnity is pretty sweet. Like, here's the thing. If you got a Solemnity, you can't put finality counters on stuff. So you could just like cast Lotus Petal from your graveyard over and over again for three life with Solemnity out, and that just means like, hey, infinite mana. Like,
well, I
no
guess you
deal.
can't put them on artifacts with Solemnity. Oh, players can't get counters.
Exactly.
Okay,
and
I get
players
it.
Can't get counters, or counters can't be put on artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or lands.
Okay, I was
so
reading
a finality it wrong. Counter that would be put on your Lotus Petal would not be on there.
Right.
You know? So, and then you pair that with Aetherflux Reservoir, it's infinite life, and that's game, you know, so that's pretty nuts, to be honest. This guy feels like a combo killer, and I think I've seen some rumbles about it in CDH.
Uh-oh.
And that's some scary business right there. And I'm looking at its EDH rec page right now, and homie, this is a CDH deck through and through from what I'm looking at.
It's
I hope
Esper.
People build it a little bit
of
more
course.
Casual.
Oh, no, of course. Like, there's no way it could possibly be anywhere near that. I mean, it's like, anytime you have a card that has that versatility to me, it's fantastic. Like, okay, let me make the mean, nasty version of Noctis, and then also, like, the cute, fun one where it's just him and his friends.
Yo. this is straight up, everything is your boilerplate Esper CDH stuff, and then Noctis, and you're like, damn. Okay. No, truly.
He's a king. Well, he's a prince right now, but he is a king when he's Kenrith. And that means you can bring all the boys along because he's five color. So great art for that, by the way. My God. Like,
yeah, truly. Very cool art. Okay. Well, Noctis, I back pocket that bad boy. I feel like I'm going to play against that next time I see you. That's for sure. I'll go next. The one that I've found myself gravitating towards a lot is shocking to me because I only thought of her for the 99 of the Master Transcendent deck, which returns creatures from the graveyard that have been milled this turn to the battlefield under your control as 3/3 green mutant creatures. And so this card cares about mutants, but I've also seen it as like another piece for Beator Ancestor's Voice, you know, the Abzan dragon from Dragonstorm Commander decks that, you know, at the end step, put counters on a creature equal life gained and reanimate a creature equal to life lost. But I'm really digging this card as it is for potentially her own deck.
Who is she?
Geneva. Geneva Ancient
what?
Calamity.
No.
Geneva.
No.
What am
That's
I?
Mother.
What?
That's mother. She's mother.
Mother That's, Geneva.
That is Geneva Ancient Calamity Geneva? From Final Fantasy VII. She's not salami, okay, so, whatever the hell you said. She's
wow,
not salami.
Yeah, okay, this it is. I am saying it like that because I'm Italian. Fair. Geneva is a name or something. So it's going to be hard to break. Geneva. Like I'm going to.
Well, it's
I'm
like she's Jen, right? Like, think of her as Jen. Like, look at the first. Okay. You know, like, she's
anyway,
Jen.
Jenny. So
yeah.
Jenny is Genova Ancient Calamity, 2 black, green. So again, no surprise that she's black, but green for me, shocked. Legendary creature alien for a 1/5. At the beginning of combat on your turn, so you don't have to wait a turn cycle, you don't have to wait for end of turn, put a number of +1/+1 counters equal to Genova's power on up to one other target creature. That creature becomes a mutant in addition to its other types, and whenever a mutant you control dies during your turn, you draw cards equal to its power. I'm sorry, what? Is this the best greater good commander there is? Like,
and let me tell you,
I'm
putting her in my squirrel deck for flavor reasons.
Damn.
Because really? Not only is she Golgari, but she, I mean, no spoilers, I guess, right? I don't want to be that person, but if you know Final Fantasy VII and you know who Genova is, putting her in a squirrel deck, in a black green, a Golgari squirrel deck, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the folks at home. If you want to go flavor first, put her in the squirrel deck.
Awesome. I'll say I really like her at the head of a deck. I like her in the 99 for decks. I'm going to get a couple copies of this for sure. I think she's just an interesting commander.
It's crazy there's not as many decks with her yet. She seems so good.
There will be. I think people are going to wake up to her power very soon. And I think that, like, here's the thing that I've done with her in my brew is that I've made this a secret commander deck with Cleopatra as well. So the Cleopatra from Assassin's Creed, which allows
baddies.
You to put +1/+1 counters.
Baddies.deck.
On, yeah. You put +1/+1 counters on legendary creatures you control, or in general. And then whenever a legendary creature dies under your control, or in general, you lose 2 life and draw cards equal to the amount of counters on it. And I was playtesting it last night, and I ended up finding an accidental, like, 4-card infinite combo with Hogak, one with the Kami, and some sack outlet that allows you to put these counters on Hogak, make him a mutant, or I think Mask with Nexus made him a mutant. Either way, you got this giant beater, sacrifice it, make like eight creatures with one with the Kami out attached to Genova. and you all of a sudden you've got a Phyrexian Altar, Azulipor Cutthroat, you got all these aristocracy feeling to a +1/+1 counters deck that keeps your hand completely full. This is going to be one of those commanders that, like, I don't know if I'll be able to keep her out and play. Not to mention, it's a 1/5 with a big ass means, like, Felothar decks out there are going to get all over this. Like, don't even get me started. Genova is truly a standout for me. And that's coming from somebody who just hates green in general. I don't like green, but I'm out here looking up Hancock Ghoulish Mayor from Fallout, a 50-cent card for a 2/1 zombie mutant advisor, 2 and a black. Each other creature you control that's a zombie or a mutant gets +X/+X, where X is the number of counters on Hancock. So, like, if you've made a bunch of stuff mutants and you just have a ton of +1/+1 counters on, well, time to give that to Hancock and he buffs the whole team. This is going to be one of those decks that, like, oh, do I want to win by combat? Do I want to win by aristocrats? Do I want to let Psychosis Crawler do its thing? Just a bananas time. Like, it's been so much fun brewing this deck and I'm really excited about it. And I didn't think I'd find anything this set that I would want to put at the head of a deck. And this is it, I think. This is the one of two I'm considering. Should I go into my second one, or do you want to take a second one first?
So, yeah. Yes, my second pick is, I think I'm going for some low-hanging fruit here, but you tell me if I'm right on that.
Okay.
But it's Sephiroth, Fabled Soldier, and Sephiroth, One-Winged Angel. Okay, everybody just groaned at home because they're like, oh God, yeah, it's him. But I mean,
I tried hard not to groan.
In what world do you make one of the best villains of any franchise ever not good and not give you something awesome like a Blood Artist emblem when it transforms that also attaches itself to fantastic flavor? He's mono black. So, like, I've never made a mono colored commander deck. I think it's impossible. Nice. Michael Whelan slash Wheels will tell me to beg to differ, but because he does like almost exclusively monocolor.
Yeah, he loves them.
Deck techs on EDH rec. And so I'm like, Sephiroth might get me to do it. I don't know. And I mean, look at the cost of this guy right now. Like, there is some hype, and I think it's well deserved.
$400 for pre-order on the big version of it.
Like the big version, yeah.
Super foil,
and that
like number background version
seems kind of cheap to me. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, we'll see how it shakes out.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I hope it opens like crazy.
Yeah, yes.
It's only gonna be in collector boosters, and those are a limited run. I just want a regular art version for every one of my black decks. It makes no sense how strong this is. Three for three mana. Look, it's so strong.
He's the big bad.
No, but I'm saying it's just so good. Like, how did they push? How is it not at least five mana for this thing? Hmm. It is a 3/3 for three mana, already perfect on stat rate. ETBs, you can sack another creature and draw a card. Whenever it attacks, so it's a Titan, you get that same effect. And then anytime a creature dies, you get Blood Artist effect. And it's so easy for four creatures to die and for Sephiroth to transform into a flying 5/5 that gives you an emblem, so you get forever Blood Artist. And also, when you attack, you can sacrifice any number of creatures and draw that many cards. I'm sorry, how many Thalice decks are out there with a bunch of spirits that end up being on defense that you just don't care for anymore after a while? You're gonna make sure that they die into like three emblems? You're gonna get your three emblems to kill everybody? Like, it's awesome. It's crazy how strong that is. But at the helm of a deck, it's like, we've seen an Ayara deck go off, Sir Conrad, a bunch of amazing mono-black commanders, so this will be fighting for some spots, but it will be the new hotness for a lot of mono-black decks. Count on it.
A 5/5 flyer is no joke in commander, even as a commander. I mean, you have something like that that's able to come out and like recur, I mean, pretty consistently, flip even. I'm digging Sephiroth. I'm digging Sephiroth because I don't think I can in good conscience like make Braids, which I really want to do. But like, that's just like the bad and like black mage in me.
That sounds like a fun deck.
I can't do it.
A fun deck.
Can't do it. No, Rachel. It doesn't.
At Command Zone. Look, they put out an episode. Rachel, because we're part of this Discord together, and we were talking about it when Braids was unbanned. She was like, "Okay, we're making a video about Braids," and obviously, and I'm like, "Yes." And then she says, What are your thoughts on it? And I'm like, I'm just excited about it, actually. I think it'll be one of those decks that's like, if you decide to bring it, it's like not your go-to deck for every night, but if you decide to break out your Braids deck, guess what? You're playing a deck that's going to warp the evening in a way that you can all agree on and adds another layer of difficulty to this game. It's like adding some sort of like expansion to a board game.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knows what she's
doing. Yeah, I think because everybody knows what she's doing and like what you can't really change it, right? Like your deck kind of has to be built around her being around. And so when it's like, oh, hey, I have Braids, it's like, oh, you know, now that was the first time I've done that in a long time, by the way.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
The devil inside. The devil. Sephiroth.
The devil
Sephiroth's
is real.
Villainy got to me, I think, in that. Like that came out really rough. It's all this.
All I'm
this
saying
black
is I think they have a list.
Yeah,
I think they have a list on Archidact. I think Rachel might have it. I think her user is Skull Clamped on Archidact. Or if you go to the Command Zone video about it, they'll have a link to the deck list. It's just a fun commander either way. I think you should take a look at that list and see if you really want a Braids deck or a Sephiroth deck. But either way, I think you're coming out of this set with a mono black commander.
You know what?
The unbanning or Sephiroth. Yep.
And also, I'm screwed because not only am I a Final Fantasy VII junkie, but I'm also a Braids junkie. I was part of the Free Braids coalition for the last 20 years for this. So imagine the look on my face when finding out that we're going to have to announce that she's unbanned. And I'm just like tweaking. I'm just tweaking for like a whole week of like, my gosh, you know, you can't, you know,
I got
not
my
tell
old
you about
bordered
this.
Braids here.
Yes, my Odyssey foil, forever a keeper. I mean, I must have got her for exactly $30.
Yep. And now it's
a banger. I think that my boss Don bought one for I think $170 in the last like couple weeks. So seems about fair. It's really rough with the Odyssey foils sometimes.
the Odyssey foils are rough because they're listing at $200 Canadian. Oof. But like the foil from Modern Horizons is just $6 Canadian.
Nice.
Near mint.
Nice.
But I want the old one. I want I want the Odyssey foil, obviously.
Old so border girlies.
I did just trade in a ton of cards. And I've got a ton of card sphere equity going that I'm gonna try to find one.
Keep peeking around.
I sent some stuff, so I'm up a couple bucks, but I don't mind putting in a couple more if it means I get that braids. And then I also was like, I'm at the LGS. I just shipped a ton of bulk I didn't want to index into card sphere. And turns out I had a lot of bulk, and I'm embarrassed to say the amount that I got for that bulk, because that would mean
was it like
able to tell just how much?
$50. Like a ransom.
Tony, I'm not gonna say. You I'm have gonna wait to until we're it. Not no! recording. No. I'm gonna you wait until we're not it. Recording.
The people wanna know. Wait.
I don't wanna say it.
The people
I'm embarrassed
know.
Enough that I don't even wanna tell Ken. I don't want him to think less of me.
Okay.
This is hoarding
that's fair.
Numbers.
That's fair. That's a Canadian to another Canadian. I understand. That's a rough go.
I don't want people thinking I'm a hoarder. Anyway, Sephiroth looks like a banger. I talked about this one last episode. I keep saying last week. We're not a weekly podcast yet. Oh, teaser. I really like Zidane. Zidane Tantalus Thief, an uncommon
Zidane
human mutant scout.
Zidane? We have to do a whole podcast on how to pronounce his name.
I pronounce one Italian and it's wrong, and then I pronounce one French and it's wrong. These are things I'm an expert in. These are names.
Okay. All right. So do you know what's even worse? Listen, do you know what's even worse? Is that Zidane's last name?
Is Cloud pronounced Clued?
Yes. No, Zidane's last name is tribal.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's like the low-hanging kindred joke of that.
So Zidane kindred, Tantalus Thief.
Yes.
Is a
the politically correct way.
Human mutant scout. Didn't expect the mutant on the type line there, but I also know nothing about these games. Three red, white. When it enters, you get a threaten effect. So when it enters, you gain control of target creature and opponent controls until end of turn. Untap it. It gains lifelink and haste, which is pretty sick. Lifelink and haste
combo.
Is sick. And then whenever an opponent gains control of a permanent from you, you create a token, a treasure token, excuse me. So like you're incentivized to keep the creature that you've stolen alive so you can give it back to them so you can have that ramp. But I also like this for something like Humble Defector. Tap and give it to another player and draw two cards. Or Bucknard's Everfull Purse, which if I believe is a two-mana enchant, not enchantment, two-mana artifact that you pay one, tap it, roll a d4, create a number of treasure tokens equal to the result, and then pass the Everfull Purse to the player to your right. And so you get an extra treasure out of that. And as long as it keeps getting activated, eventually it'll come back to you or something like that. And then also you can use your Homeward Path to kind of just be an extra treasure generation if you stole something and it's about to die and you just want to give it back away or something. I've been having fun with this. Yes Man, Slicer, Alexios. Just a bunch of really interesting cards that just don't want to be in your control. That you can give away. Yeah, I think this is a fun idea for a deck. Don't know that I'll build it because I did just build another Mardu deck and I need to cool it with, you know, building decks for a little bit. I need to dismantle a few before I keep going. But Zidane is interesting. A very, very cool commander indeed.
And
I've been
let me tell you
with it
something
fun.
That might change your mind about building it is that our writer, Tyler Bucks, did write a deck tech about stealing your friend's cards on a budget. So there's 14 cards he's got in this article that are under $14 that you could throw in your Zidane deck. If you're thinking about it, if you're thinking it might have the shell, might need to keep costs down. Check
Morgan,
it out.
My friend, yep. My dear friend, you think I haven't already read this article?
For the folks at home, if you're thinking about Zidane and you're like, maybe it's too much money, 14 under 14's got you covered, and just search for Tyler Bucks in the EDH Trek articles. Have a lot of fun there. It's really fun to just see like random cards, especially budget cards. Like Tyler's super into, you know, stuff that's cheaper and you're like, wait, what? Like that's a thing. Like there's so many cards in the game. You're just like, what? Like, I don't understand how that, I mean, Alexios is on there for one. So, I mean, I think that's, that's a good, good callback for you.
I mean, that's Humble Defector. Yes, Man. All these cards are in my list except for Insurrection. and I made my list and then read the article. But when I started the article, I was like, how does this not start with captivating crew? Oh, there it is. It was right there. It ended up being the third card in. But it's such a cool design, and white being the color that blinks, like I think white is primary and blink with blue. I want to say white and blue are blink colors. And so having half the blink colors here means that you're going to get to play with your teleportation portals and Conjurer's Closets and cloud shifts, and you're going to play with your ephemerates and all of that. So you can get enough, you can keep triggering as a Dane. Not to mention you've got Elish Norn, Mother of Machines to double that up. So you get to benefit from, you know, your ETB twice, you know. So really fun commander, really cool card. Interested in seeing where it goes and in not only my decks, but maybe the command zone someday. But I think that does it for us on this one. Shout out to Dan Sheehan one more time. Dogskinsin.com for the Who's a Good Boy Kickstarter. Please follow the page. Please make sure you get the notifications, and please back the game. It's going to be so much fun and so worth it. I think that'll do it. Morgan, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Before we scoot the day, I'm good to scoot.
Before we scoot the day. You're good to scoot. Well,
good to scoot.
Indigo Gentleman on Blue Sky for Morgan Sanchez. Check out edhrec.com. Shout out. Check out Am I the Bolus column every Wednesday. A new article from your boy, Mikey C. Check out my stand-up comedy. Check out my website for more information on where I'm performing. These days, just in Montreal for a little bit. An announcement will be made June 5th, so a couple days from now. That will be fun for me to be able to talk about. So keep an eye open for that. And then make sure to email in amithebolus@gmail.com. If you've got a story of your own, we'll be starting the mailbags up soon. Hopefully that'll be what takes us weekly. And I'm really looking forward to it. So thank you for listening. Thanks for rocking with us. Can't wait to get back out there and play again soon. I really hope that's something I can do in the near future. And yeah, dude, let's scoot the day. Let's get out of it. Oh, that's right. At Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. And then also at Am I the Bowlcast. Blue Sky, check us out there. It's important. Follow us online. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, because again, we have some plans. We're hoping to do some live things. Lots of stuff in the pipeline, but we got to wait to get some stuff sorted. So thanks so much for rocking with us. Thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends if you like the show. Don't tell anybody if you do. If you don't. Don't tell anybody if you do. I'm the worst at ending the show. Tell your friends if you like the show, and if you don't tell anybody, because you probably didn't make it all the way here if you didn't. All right, that's enough.